Had a couple of hiccups there with slide transitions. I think the battery is getting... I don't want you to think I'm not paying attention. I am paying attention. I think the battery is getting low on the clicker. I'll have to check that, but I do apologize for that. It is good to see everybody who is out with us tonight. We do have some who are visiting with us. We're so very glad that you're here this evening, and I want to encourage you to follow along with the things that we'll have to discuss here tonight. If you were able to be here this morning, I mentioned that I had received a request last Sunday evening in the question box back there. And the question was, or the request was, to preach a sermon on dealing with anger. We talked about that some this morning. It's a very timely suggestion, a very timely topic. And the sermon this morning was all about dealing with our anger from a biblical perspective. I certainly pray and hope that that was helpful to all who were able to hear it. But I did mention in that sermon that I really wanted to do kind of a companion sermon to that, and we're going to do that this evening. The sermon tonight is entitled, He Who Rules His Spirit. This statement comes from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32, which says this, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. When you read through the wisdom literature, you read through Psalms, and Psalms can really go over a broad spectrum of topics, but you read through Psalms, you read through Proverbs, you read through Ecclesiastes, and especially in Proverbs, there are certain topics that the wise man just seems to mention over and over and over again. Calmness of spirit. Anger, which would be the other side of that coin. A hasty temper. They're topics that seem to come up almost every other psalm, or a proverb rather. And we see it very, very often. If we find that within the wisdom literature, then we know our spirit, whether it is calm or whether it is hasty, it is anger, it is quick-tempered, has a lot to do with the type of life that we are living, whether we are living a spiritually wise life or whether we are living a spiritually foolish one. And you think of what the wise man says here. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Well, it's not the one who's slow to anger who tends to be held up in this world, is it? It's the mighty. But that's not what God's looking at. And he who rules his spirit, then he who takes a city. We tend to hold up those who take the city. They are conquerors. They are mighty. They are powerful. God says, I don't care about them. I'm more concerned, more happy with the one who rules his spirit. And so what we want to talk about in the sermon this evening is this idea of ruling our spirit. We're going to see the one who does that is able to avoid certain things, and the one who does that is able to pursue and achieve certain things. But let's start off with what the one who rules his spirit is able to avoid. And I want to start off with this, offense seeking. Contrary and opposed to what many in our country especially seem to believe, it is not a virtue to go through your life constantly offended. It's not. You look at what the wise man says here in chapter 3 and verse 30 of Proverbs. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. And yet, so often what we see among us today are those who are always on the look, always on the hunt and the search for something to be offended by. It is considered a virtue today. It is a good thing if you can go through your life just mad. Mad all the time.
And it doesn't matter if the person's actually done something worth being mad about or not. Just be upset. Let everybody know how virtuous you are by that. The inspired wise man says, no. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. The one who is able to rule his spirit, the one who is able to just maintain a certain level of spiritual calmness, doesn't fall into this manner of life. Because where many might look at it as something to be applauded, God sees it for what it is. It's spiritual failure. It's spiritual failure. And the one who rules his spirit is able to avoid it. Why? Well, for a number of reasons, but one of them is this next point. He or she does not maintain a short fuse, a quick temper, always on the verge of an explosion. In Proverbs 14, verses 16 and 17, and also verse 29, this is what we read. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. Jumping down to verse 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. There will be some crossover from the sermon this morning and this evening. This is one of the places where we're going to see it. Just think about the moments in your life when you became especially angry. Bear in mind also, James 1, 19 and 20. We read that this morning. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so think about those moments when your anger was motivated by pride or selfishness or ambition or perhaps even hatred. Think about those moments and the actions that you took when you were dealing with that anger. Were they wise actions? Were they actions that you look back upon now and you regret having taken? Were there words that were spoken in those moments that you wish you could go back and take back now? Were there things done in those moments that you wish you could just turn back the clock and handle that situation in a different way? I know there's a multitude of them in my life. And I have been a living example of the proof of what is being said here. He who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Those times when I've had a hasty temper, I struggle, brethren, to find one good thing I did at that particular time. And this is the benefit of ruling our spirits. We talked about how to do that in the sermon this morning and in the ways that God sets forth for how to overcome our anger. And we're not going to go through all of that again this evening. I would invite you and encourage you, if you didn't have a chance to listen to it, it will be up on the website. You can listen to it there. But tonight we're not dealing with how we do all of these things. We're dealing with the benefit of doing them. Things that we can avoid. And the short fuse, the quick temper, the easy explosion is certainly one of the things to be avoided. We will not act in a God-pleasing way when we go throughout our lives with a short fuse. And I suspect all we have to do is look at examples from our own life in the past to see the truth of that. He who rules his spirit is able to avoid the unwillingness to forgive. Over in Proverbs chapter 18, the first part of verse 19, we read, a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. And you think of the imagery that you get from that. The wisdom literature is often written in such a way that you can picture the words. And you've got this strong city here. So you think of this great city surrounded by a wide, deep, thick wall. And you're going to have to pound on that wall for a long, long time before you make any dent upon it. You can picture that. You can see it in your mind's eye. And yet the wise man, in saying a brother offended, is more unyielding than that. You ever see that from experience? Sound like he just said, yeah. You ever known somebody who could take a slight, who could take an insult, perceived or real, and could harbor a grudge to such an extent that it gets to the point they cannot have a calm, decent interaction with the individual they are harboring that grudge against? They have become so unyielding. Even should that individual come up to them and say, I got to tell you, the way I treated you, it was just wrong. And I am humbly apologizing. I am begging that you would forgive me. And they might as well be slamming their head against a brick wall. They will not be forgiven. And brethren, that's what comes of one who does not get his soul under control. Rather than looking for a reason to forgive, looking for opportunity to mend that relationship, the one who does not control his or her spirit is rather looking for reason to nurse the grudge, looking for reason to harbor that hatred. And whenever they get an opportunity to speak negatively against that person, to harm that person in some way, they're going to take it. Why? Because they can't forgive. And I want to tell you something, beloved. Spiritually, that is suicide. Jesus in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15 says this: For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. See, here's the thing, brethren. If I wrong somebody, hopefully they will forgive me. Hopefully they will forgive me. But if I repent to them and I apologize to them and they don't forgive me, well, it's going to hurt. But ultimately, I don't need them to forgive me. I need God. I have to have His forgiveness. Because if He doesn't forgive, what higher power is there for me to appeal to? If God says, I am not going to extend my grace to you, then where do I go to find grace to forgive me that will offset His unwillingness to do it? Where do I go? I've got nowhere else to go. So even if I sin against somebody and I'm repentant and I apologize and I beg them to forgive me and they say, no, I simply will not do it, that's going to hurt, but it's going to be okay because there's a higher power I know will forgive. But if He says I won't, I have nowhere to go. And here's the danger of not controlling, ruling our spirit. It will make it difficult for us to forgive people when they slight us, when they insult us, when they hurt us, even when they repent. And God says this, if you won't forgive them, I won't forgive you. It really is that easy. And the person who cannot control their spirit, they may go down a long list of showing why their situation is just the different one. They're the one who have different rules that apply to them. And they don't actually have to do what it says here. Oh, we love to muddy up what God has made so plain sometimes. Oh, the rules do apply to me, and it doesn't matter what they've done. I've done worse to God. He who rules his spirit avoids the unwillingness to forgive. And they're able to avoid all of these things, the three things that we've mentioned, because he who rules his spirit has managed to achieve certain things. And the first one that I want to mention is this: self-control. Self-control. In Proverbs 25 and verse 28, it says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." So you go back to the time in which this was written. You remember when Nehemiah, when he heard how bad things were in Jerusalem and he went back. Do you remember what the major problem was simply from a tactical standpoint for Jerusalem? Remember what the problem was? They didn't have a wall. You could not be a city if you didn't have a wall. Anybody could come in and just pluck whatever they wanted from them. They had no defense. And that's what the proverb writer is saying about the man who lacks self-control. He is like a city broken into and left without walls. What is self-control? It's the ability to go throughout one's life not ruled by passions, not ruled by lusts, not being tossed about this way and that way by emotions, not having everybody dictate to them what they should and what they should not do. It's an individual who controls their heart. An individual who is able to be calm. And it's because this individual is controlled by God. And the godly life is a self-controlled life. And the one who rules his spirit, who isn't given over to passions, to emotions which are ever-changing and are always flighty, but is grounded, that's an individual who has achieved self-control. And he's achieved it because he rules his spirit. And the individual who does this achieves peace. In chapter 15 and verse 18, this is what we read. This is again, it's Proverbs. "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." You know, sometimes we have those moments where the situation is beginning to arise, the situation where strife can exist. And there's a couple of ways that one can deal with it. Some just jump in with both feet. They just relish the fight. And the whole situation becomes about winning. That's one way things can go. I would suggest that's usually the way things do go when we take a look around the day and age in which we live. But then there's another way to handle that. It's the one who's going to look for a way to defuse the situation. The one who's going to look for a way to level it out. It's not going to be turbulent. He's going to level out the situation. As far as it depends on him, he will live peaceably with all men. It's not about winning a fight. It's not about defeating our opponent in argument. It's about coming through this situation, whatever it might be, with our souls intact, with our relationship with God where it needs to be. There's an interesting statement over in Philippians 4 and verse 2. And quite frankly, this very short statement is all we know about this situation. Paul says to the brethren, just kind of right out of the blue, he mentions these two women. He says, "I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord." Now, I don't know what the situation was between those two women. Clearly, Paul holds them in high esteem. He knows who they are individually, and the congregation to whom he's writing, they would know those women. Probably women of some importance among the brethren, influential. But something apparently had arisen. I don't know what it was. Perhaps it was a personality conflict. of some sort. But Paul was saying, I am entreating you. You agree in the Lord. Now, what if Euodia heard that message? And she read that, or she heard it read there in the assembly when all the brethren were gathered together and they were reading this letter from Paul. And she heard that, and she took a look over there to Syntyche. And Syntyche's face was just red. And you could see she was angry. And Euodia had gotten under her skin in some way. And she glared over there at Euodia. Euodia's looking back at her. Euodia wants this thing to be fixed, but the other one does not. Then what was going to have to happen? Euodia is going to have to take these steps first, and she was going to have to take them alone. But he or she who rules his spirit or her spirit is willing and able to do it. Now, I don't know if that's the way that occurred. But I do know this, the fact that Paul says you agree in the Lord makes it very clear that as far as he was concerned, in this situation, whether it was over personalities or anything else, there was only one issue at stake. You are sisters. The Lord is the most important thing. Fix it. And if the Lord remained the most important thing, it was fixed. You see, the one who rules his spirit or rules her spirit isn't looking for a fight. The Christian life is not one that relishes conflict. It's one that seeks peace. Peace with all men. And will do whatever it must do without stepping outside of its loyalty to Christ. Because there are times when you can't have peace when you're bound and determined to follow the Lord, because those around you will not be at peace with that. But that's what we see. And that's the importance of ruling over our spirit. And he or she who does this, who rules his spirit, achieves humility and achieves forethought. In chapter 17 and verse 14, it says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. We can usually see strife coming a mile away, can't we? We can usually see an argument coming a mile away. Remember, we talked some about this morning when we were dealing with our anger. We talked about knowing our triggers, knowing the things that get under our skin. We're also told by Jesus, when he sent out the 70 brethren, he told them to be wise as serpents. And so we know those who are good at getting under our skin. We know those who tend to relish an argument. We know those who tend to enjoy strife. And when we see them coming, we can be wise enough to know there's a pretty decent chance I know where this is going to end up. That's forethought. That's simply being honest about the situation. And it can be very difficult, brethren. You know this as well as I do. It can be very difficult when somebody has decided to make us their target. And when somebody has decided in some way to get under our skin or try to do that. It could be through insults. It could be through mocking. It could be through all of these things. And we know how the world tends to deal with it. You want to fight? You got to fight. Let's go. There's an interesting statement made here by the proverb writer. And the way the New King James puts this, I think, really drives the point home. Any fool can start a fight. Any fool can start a quarrel. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife. It's not always easy to think this way, though, is it? Because when that person begins to pick, begins to argue, begins to fight, begins to attack and insult and mock, It is hard for us, I know it's hard for me sometimes to think, well, I can start to go back at him like any old fool would do. Any fool can start a quarrel. Any fool can argue. Any fool can fight. You don't have to have a spiritual bone in your body. Any fool can do it. That's what the wise man said. But it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife. It doesn't mean that one who's trying to get under our skin is going to say, you know what? I'm really impressed with the way you stood up to my ungodliness here. And I just want you to know that I am applauding your spirituality. That's not what that's meaning. And it's not saying those who are standing around and witnessing this situation won't think to themselves, boy, he's weak. He just let himself get walked all over there. That is absolutely weakness. It doesn't mean that the people standing around are going to hold us up in honor, but it does mean this. God believes it's an honor. God is viewing the situation. And when we do stay aloof from strife, when we don't sink down to that level, do you know who we're like? We're like Jesus. And that's what it's all about for us. That's what we're striving to be. Why is it this important? For this reason. Few things, beloved, injure our influence for Jesus Christ as quickly as an angry, bitter, hasty spirit. It is hard to influence someone for the good when they know your life to be turbulent, when they know your life to be angry, when they know you relish strife and love the fight. Really hard, if not impossible. On the other hand, few things benefit our influence for Christ as well as a calm, peaceful spirit. Why? Because that is the spirit of Christ. And that's what we're striving to achieve. So I hope that the sermons today were helpful for everybody, particularly for the one who requested the sermons. As we talked about this morning, this isn't really the way to deal with one particular sin. This is the way to deal with sin. And maintaining a calm, peaceful spirit will go such a long way in overcoming so many of them. There may be some here tonight who are not Christians, and if that's the case, you have the opportunity now to render your obedience to Jesus Christ. If you truly believe that He is the Christ, I pray that you would do that. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as Lord, and be immersed in water to have your sins washed clean from your soul. All things are ready. The only question is, are you? And if the answer is yes, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.